Last Sunday night we dealt with worshiping God, and this evening we're going to deal with care for each other. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we are going to be reading from verse 19 to 30. Philippians chapter 2, 19 to 30. So this is where the word of the Lord says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Lord, as we just pray, Lord, we do ask you that you will speak to our hearts. Oh Lord, I ask you that you will take away any barriers, whether being from me or even for those that are hearing, any different thoughts. Lord, help us to focus here on you, on your word, on what you want to say to us. So speak to our hearts this evening in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I must confess to you that I was hoping not to be preaching tonight. And that's not because I didn't want to preach, but I was hoping my baby will arrive by now. But that hasn't happened, so we'll carry on. Jesus, our reason to care. In my previous church in Port Elizabeth, there was a lady, her name was Rosita, and she told me that every week she will go to the old age home that was also linked to the church. And as a service to them, to the older folk, and that she cared for them, she will simply go and do their manicure and pedicure every week. And that was her way to care for them, her way to service. No one told her to do, no one complained about it. She voluntarily, out of a caring heart for fellow believers, would go and do their nails and their toenails as well. And that was, for me, as I was preparing this, just the thought of, in outside there in the world, what reason would someone have to do something like that? Nobody's paying her. She's not getting anything. Let's be real. Feet are not the nicest things. And yet, a heart driven by compassion and care for others drove her to do that. And as we go to the scriptures, Paul dedicates this section of this letter to the Philippians to showcase the care of two people. And what I want tonight is for us to learn some of the traits of these two characters and how they cared. And and maybe we can get something out of it. So just to give you a little bit of background, Paul is in jail, and Epaphroditus, someone who we're going to look a bit about later, he brought news from the church in Philippi, and brought a gift as well, like a some believe it like a financial gift, and it was bringing news to Paul of how the church is doing. And now Paul is going to reply, thanking the people, also tell the church in Philippi, hey, I know you heard he was ill, but he's okay now, and just to give them a little bit of peace. So let's jump in. The first person that we see Paul talking about there is Timothy. So look at verse 20, speaking about Timothy. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy is described here and praised by Paul as someone who had deep concern and care for others. He was selfless. He did not put his own interests in the serving, which shows us here. Look at what he says: for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So, and here he's talking about other companions, by the way. And so this tells us that we could be even caring for one another out of selfish reasons. You could be doing amazing stuff for other people and yet have completely selfish motives in doing that. But Paul says, not Timothy. He cares for the interests of Christ. I had the privilege of going to India and visiting an orphanage where this Catholic priest, I do not remember, I try to remember what order he was from, but it's one of these, he had four vows of celibacy and of not drinking anything and others. But anyways, he was dedicated to these children, orphan children, but not only that, they had special needs, cerebral palsy kind of children. And the orphanage was only of that. And he told us how in India, you know, with a caste system, they would simply leave these children or babies on the side of the road for that. And he was just describing the care, and we were really, really touched. Many of those of them had AIDS as well, and so there was like shouting, screaming need all around. He's under resourced, and I just asked him, "How do you do it? How do you?" Because it was a struggle, but yet he's somehow doing it. And his answer was, it's the love of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. So we ought to have the priorities, even in our care, the priorities of Christ. Our care for others ought to be genuine, sacrificial, loving. Now, what does it look to have the concern for the things of Jesus? What are those in concern for the things of Jesus? Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Colossians 3:20, put your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We heard it even this morning that orphans and widows have a special place in God's heart. And so we ought to be valuing that which Jesus says is really valuable. We ought to be, we sometimes sing on that song, Hosanna, break my heart for what breaks yours. That our priority in our life will be of sharing the gospel and doing that which Christ sees as valuable. Jesus says, I was in prison and you never visited me. Just early on, we were talking about prison ministry just before we started our prayer meeting. And I was just sharing with them how I had the privilege to go twice to a maximum security to prison and talking with murderers and rapists. And you see the brokenness of the world that we live in. And this is like, it bursts your bubble. It's like out there, the sin is all over the place, and we sometimes can be in our little Christian bubble and do not see the brokenness that is out there. I remember being scared after I shared the gospel and engaged with them in conversation, and I was going to pray, and I just grabbed the pen, you know, just taking precautions here. But see, we ought to value that which Jesus Christ says it's valuable. We ought to have the same concerns of Christ. And Christ and his biggest concern was to come and seek and save the lost. And so, therefore, the gospel should be priority in our lives. And look at that. We see a hint of that even in Timothy's life. Verse 22. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. So, the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel should be priority in our lives. The work of Christ, what he has done on the cross, should be at the center of everything that we do, and even in our care. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. But also, the way that Timothy cared, he was a humble, submissive servant. Look at verse 22 again. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. Timothy learned and followed Paul around. He worked with Paul and submitted to him to the point that he actually was circumcised, even though he was a Gentile. He didn't have to be circumcised, but he was a humble servant. Timothy was a humble servant. And if we are going to follow the way of our Master Jesus Christ, we ought to serve humbly. We ought to care for one another humbly. Now, let me show you a biblical example of how to not care humbly. Look at Matthew 6:2, Jesus talking about the Pharisees. That's when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Now let's be real here. Often, after you've helped someone, and especially if it was particularly a sacrifice for you, you want to say to people. you want to let everybody know how difficult it was for me to help that person. How often is it to, I don't know, and I'm just going to be honest with you here. And I struggle with pride. And so if I do something great, I will try to weave it in a conversation somehow. And that is just pride. That's not humility. Because he's saying it's not for other people. We're serving and we're caring, and it is God who sees and he's going to reward. So we ought to not look at our own doings. In actual fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So when we do good works, guess what? We're only doing what we're supposed to do. You're doing nothing more special than that. You're simply doing what you are created to do in Christ Jesus. And so we ought to help and care for one another in a humble way. And here's the thought sometimes. I will help as long as it doesn't inconvenience me in any way. That's not the care that the Bible calls us to do. That's not the kind of love that the Bible calls us. It's not like, as long as it's not an inconvenience for me, I will care. But we go on and we see another name that Paul mentions, Epaphroditus. Verse 25, "I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger, and minister to my need." Now, interesting, he uses the word soldier there, describing Epaphroditus. Soldier and messenger. Now, Paul uses the word soldier as an adjective for three people only: Epaphroditus, Timothy, and Archippus. But I think this is what he has in mind. In 2 Timothy, he says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Now, listen to this. "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." So what is the contrast here? As he's sharing in suffering, he's saying it's because soldiers don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. In other words, Epaphroditus' eyes are so into pleasing the general. The mission is to love the world and to care for the world. And so I'm not going to be entangled in other human pursuits, but I am going to stick to the mission of caring for one another, of sharing the gospel in order to please my general. The mindset is a different mindset. I have this in my life, and then maybe if there is space, I'll fit the caring in. Is saying, I have a mission as a soldier who doesn't get entangled in civilian pursuits, but I want to please my Savior. I'm going to stick to the mission. I'm going to do that which I have been called to do, to please our general. And Epaphroditus seems to be just a remarkable guy. Look at this. He had also deep concern for the church in Philippi. Verse 26, "For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill." He was really concerned about the church in Philippi, that they were worried about his health because they heard he was ill, and he is now concerned for them because now they're worrying about him. Isn't that amazing? He's like, I need to go back. I need to go back and tell them that I'm okay. I don't want you to worry. I know you heard that I was ill, but I really don't want you to worry. He had a deep concern, and he was such a faithful servant in caring that he actually nearly died. Verse 30, "For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." He had a deep concern for others. But in that same verse, it tells us the motivation for the work of Christ. Our motivation for caring for one another is found in the gospel. You understand that Jesus cared and loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. It's understanding that God cared for me. God cared for me so much that he didn't let me go straight into hell and receive the just punishment for my sins. But God cared for me so much, he loved me so much, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave of himself for me. Now, if we think like that, if you understand the gospel, God gave of himself for me to save me, and he loved me, and he called us to love one another likewise. Just as we have been received grace, we go and give grace. Just as we have received love, we go on and love. Just as we have received care from him, we care for others. See, if we are not caring, or if we're caring out of a self-interest, you're not really understanding and looking at the gospel, because you don't deserve, we didn't deserve to be helped. We didn't deserve to be cared for. We didn't even deserve to be loved. And yet, as sinners as we were, God looked at us and loved us. And so, we go and love others who don't deserve, who maybe haven't done anything to deserve your care. Actually, the Bible goes on to say, to the least of these, to the orphans, the widows, the ones in the most difficult circumstances, just as we were before his grace came in, we go and love them and care for them. It is because of Christ. Marshall Siegel says this: the care you really need is not buried somewhere deep inside of you, waiting to be unlocked by some desert or diversion. No, you need the healing, forgiving, restoring, and transforming grace of a God who loves you. Only someone stronger than your greatest weakness, bigger than your worst failures, and brighter than your deepest darkness could address the things you fear or regret. It is only out of a deep understanding of what Christ has done for you that we can have the right motivation to love sacrificially, to care sacrificially for one another. As you see how good God has been to you, you show it out towards others. But one last thing I want to leave us with, and that is a practical step. Paul gives them, in a way, a command. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. Now think about this for a second. He dedicated part of this letter to acknowledge these two brothers, Timothy and Epaphroditus. He dedicated a whole section in acknowledging and honoring them. And he says, honor men like this. So, caring for one another, and honor and acknowledge those who labor alongside you. And what I want you to do and think consciously is to honor and encourage and acknowledge those that are serving around you. As you go to Sizwe, hey Sizwe, thank you so much for serving Jews every Sunday. Thank you, Cleophas and Ernest, for looking after my car. Thanks, Craig, for doing the screen. And Cranker, thanks for taking me home almost every week. Right? Honor those that are around you. This is a form of encouragement. Thank your pastors and encourage them. Thank Jabu. Thank Pastor Charles. You can thank me as well, chicken. But see, Paul goes and says, honor them. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge the service that they do. There are so many ministries happening around us. So many leaders that have busy weeks and are doing the work of the Lord sacrificially. And they need an encouragement and an acknowledgement saying, thank you for what you're doing. I want to honor you. Thank you for all that. Thank you for teaching Sunday school. Thank you for doing the sound. Cody, you're amazing. Thank you so much for doing the sound. And this is just a homework that I want to give all of us. Well, in wherever you're serving, because this is part of caring for one another as a body of Christ. May God help us to look constantly at the gospel, that we will see how God has loved us and cared for us, so that we will love and care for others, that we will serve and care for one another in whatever way. And here's the thing. I don't want you to think just, oh man, there isn't an opportunity for me. Everything is working. Even if nobody sees it, even if it's as the lady I mentioned from PE, I actually just want to go and encourage someone. I want to paint the nails of the old people. I don't know how God has gifted you, but God has gifted his people. And so there is no excuse for any of us to be doing absolutely nothing and not caring at all for each other. There is something that you can do. There is some way that you can show love and care for others. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we praise you and adore you for your care for us, undeserving that we are. Lord, we know that it was a huge price that Jesus paid. To the extent that he prayed in agony, if possible, let this cup pass from me. But he endured the cross to glorify you and to save us, Lord. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to be a congregation that loves and cares for one another, that are constantly seeking out for others, not out of self-interest, but because we're putting Christ at the center of our lives, Lord. So help us, because we are selfish. We need of your grace. Help us to look at the cross. Lord, we praise you and we adore you.